just kind of paraphrasing or making it short what I said, but to know that you have a church behind you when you fall, they can help lift you up. Amen. Praise God. A person, as Josh was saying, when you become that lone ranger, you just start, you know, separating yourself from everybody. You lose contact with people. But when you stay in a fellowship, even when you're struggling, you know, you have to realize that through the Spirit, the Lord is showing you that people are struggling. You don't always you might feel led to talk, and you don't always necessarily have to know. All you have to know is that God knows, and that you can put it in God's hands and watch Him work. And we praise God that He did that in you. Praise God. My nephew-in-law. Is there a nephew-in-law? Is there such a thing? So, praise God. I forget that Rachel's my niece sometimes. It took me a while to remember her name's Rachel.
He's your niece, so he's your nephew.
He's not blood nephew. One time, Sandy and I were talking on the phone, and she said something about Rachel. And I go, Rachel? Who's Rachel? She goes, my daughter. And I go, she doesn't seem like a Rachel. Just get those little warps in your mind once in a while. Praise God. Well, I'm going to read out of John chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Oh, Sammy? We did the offering already and prayed for it. You can go ahead and bring it up. You want us to bring the basket? Oh, here comes Anthony. We can get one of those long handles with the thing on and pass it down. Does that bother you that we do this way? I never ever asked. It's when I started going to the church, which is what we did, I never thought. One time a lady came to the church and she was all frustrated that we did that. And I was like, well, then don't put anything in. I don't, or sneak by and drop it in when nobody, mostly you just put it in before the service even starts, so. Amen. So we're going to read out of John chapter 11, verses 7 through 10. Lord, we just commit this to you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for your restoring power, Lord. God, that you do watch over our lives, Lord, and you protect us, God. And even when we stray from you, Lord, you never stray from us, God, and you call out to us, God, and thank you for that. Lord, I just ask you now to just bless the preaching and the hearing and receiving of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 11, verses 7 through 10. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. I find this kind of an amazing thing today because I never ever thought of this until this stood out, felt I should preach it to us. But today, there is exactly sunrise is at 7:02, and the sunset is at 7:02. You know what that means? There's exactly 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark, evening hours or whatever. It just so happened to work out that day because I just happened to look it up this morning because I knew somewhere towards, the later end of March, you get that, what do they call it, equinox or whatever. And I knew it was even, and it just happened to be today. But, we could in our mind, look at this, get our mind sidetracked in about the 24-hour day of time. But Jesus isn't really talking about that. He isn't really talking about daylight hours. He's talking about these two things. He's talking about walking in the light, and he's talking about a time frame that each one of us is given. Each one of us is given a 12-hour time frame. You know, Jesus, he died approximately 33 and a half years old. That was his 12 hours. John, he died, the Apostle John, he died somewhere around 98, 99 years old. That was his 12 hours to walk in the day. Not so for his length of time for his brother James. You can read in the book of Acts where it says, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. So James got killed quite a bit earlier than John. But nonetheless, that was his 12 hours that he had to walk in the light. And again, every one of us is given the 12 hours. For any one of us, your 12 hours could be over before this year is over, maybe even before this day is over. But understand, God is the one that gives life. He's the one that gives us length of days. Here's Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, here's what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun, all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. So again, God is the one that gives life. He is the one that determines the length of his days. Your life, God already knows. He knows the number of your years. If we get raptured out of here, we can all, maybe none of us will have to face death. But if he should tarry for a while, you know, our days are numbered. Every day we get closer to it. That takes a lot of logic to figure that out, huh? But we could think how unfair it is for some people to have a long life while others have their life cut short. Ecclesiastes has something to say about that. In 7:15, I have seen everything in my days of vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs life in his wickedness. So there is not any of us that are guaranteed a lifespan. I know the psalmist says that we are given 70 years and maybe 80. Well, some people take that literally. But I know a lot of Christians that died before 70 years old. So you can never take that as a promise. It's maybe just kind of given an average lifespan of man. But we're not guaranteed a certain span of life, because we know there are wicked people that live long and there are righteous people that die relatively young. Some are martyred at very young ages, like James was. But whatever length of days you live, your 12 hours, whatever length those 12 hours are, it is what the Lord has determined for your life. So I don't know if you're quite understanding yet, but hopefully you will, what I mean by you get your 12 hours to walk in. A man can interfere with the will of God in his life. A Christian can interfere with the will of God in his life as well. But a man can interfere with his life because of reckless living, and he can have his life snuffed out earlier than God intended. There's millions of people that die younger than God has ever intended. And it never takes God by surprise. He says, oh, that one slipped on me. He just knows. And his will is to give you a good life and a prosperous life and a long life. But different things come into play. And if a person does not live for God, then it can and does affect the outcome of their physical life. Ecclesiastes 7:17, do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? So I guess maybe I kind of said that wrong, that God wants you to live long, because God has it slated for some to be martyred, for some to die young for whatever reason. But you can certainly perish and you can certainly die before the time God has slated for you if you would go out and live a reckless life, do all kinds of crazy things, get caught up in alcohol and drugs and all that and die or be really irresponsible with your body and bring cancer on you. You can do all kinds of things to bring your life to end sooner than God intended. That's why we are called to be good stewards of our bodies. Recall to take care of, not be overly ridiculous about it, but try to honor the Lord with our bodies so we can get the most performance, get the most use out of this body because we're using it for the Lord. But it was never God's intention to have all the men over 20 years old that came out of Egypt. It was never his intention for them to die in the wilderness. That happened because of them. It happened because of their unbelief. It happened because of their rebellion against God. They missed out on a life of living in the land of milk and honey, in the promised land. That is where God wanted to take them. God even made a promise to them, a covenant with them, so to speak, that he was going to take them there. But they didn't get there because of them, not because of God. Of course, God, you know, became mad at them and said, not one of you will make it out. But he's been merciful, but they went too far. And then God says, you're not going to make it in there now. You're being rebels against me. You're stiff-necked. You're hard-hearted. So they missed out on living the full life that God intended for them. Actually, you could say their 12 hours were kind of cut short. But then there's the other side of this as well. When man's intention is to destroy the lives of people such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it failed because it was God's intention to give them their full 12 hours to live for him. So when you live for God, you get your full 12 hours. There is no devil in hell. There is no man on earth that can rob you of even 1 second of that time that God has given you, that God has allotted to you. There are so many people overcome by life that they don't even consider the years of their life, how long they're going to live. Their mind is numb. In Ecclesiastes 2:16 through 23, it says, for there is no remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die as the fool? Therefore, I hated life, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me. For all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Imagine trying to catch the wind, huh? How could you possibly catch it? I like to stick my hands out the window when I'm driving sometimes and go like that, you know. But try to catch the wind. You just can't grab a hold of it. That's basically telling us you're trying to get a fulfilled life without God. Grasping for the wind is trying to have a fulfilled life absent of God. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me, and who knows whether he will be wise, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool. Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. I just realized as I was reading this, I built a house for my family 32 years ago. Now somebody else is going to be taking it over. This is really being true. Somebody else is getting something I labored for. I hope they enjoy it. Therefore, I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. Basically saying all of this stuff you can live for, you're just going to pass on and someone else is just going to take over. Just one generation after another. Therefore, I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. Oh, I read that already, right? We are at verse 22. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. So what you're reading there, I know there's a lot to take in, and that's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. It is a life lived without God. You'll have days to live just like the Christian does, but there are days you're grasping for the wind. There are days filled with trying to fulfill yourself. There are days trying to take care of me, myself, and I, and fulfilling this and doing that. And it's just a life of absent of peace. It's a life absence of the joy of the Lord. You can have your moments of it and moments of happiness, but it's not a fulfilling life. And the more you are distant from God, the less your life will have any meaning. To live a meaningful life, you can only do that as a Christian. Aren't you glad you have a reason to live? Praise God. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be this. And you don't have to be smart. And you don't have to be rich. And you don't have to be all those things to contribute and be a benefit to the kingdom of God. Just know that God has given you a life with meaning to it. Amen. Every little prayer that was offered up by anybody in here for Joshua paid dividends. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Just think, if you get to heaven, all you ever did is pray someone saved. Praise God. What an awesome thing. You stand before the Lord going, yeah, Lord, I prayed them saved. Hallelujah. But our life will have meaning if we give it and fully surrender it to the Lord. Jesus said, if anyone walks in the day, he will not stumble. Walking in the day, which is confusing by that, really means to walk in the light. And walking in the night is the same as walking in the dark. You know, when we repented and we became born again saints of God, there are a few things that happened to us immediately. And one of those is we were ushered into his marvelous light. We were made to see the kingdom of God. In fact, before he says you have to be born again, born of water and spirit to enter, before he even says that, to enter the kingdom of God, he says you have to see. You have to be born again to see the kingdom of God. So this is one of the absolute first things that happens to us, is we all of a sudden are ushered into light. All of a sudden, we, from that instant we were born again and repented, we entered into light, and we get to walk in the light. So our eyes then were open to the kingdom of God. We were given the ability to see spiritual things, and we were privileged from that day forward to get to walk in the day. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm walking in the day. I'm walking in the light. Whatever length of days your 12 hours may be, you need to walk in the light. What Jesus was saying is that if you walk in the light, you get your full hours, your full 12 hours to walk in. Does everybody understand what I'm saying by that yet? Or are you still a little confused? I think I'm a little confused, and maybe that makes you think you are. But there are two options you have in this life. One is you can take complete control over your life. You can decide what's good for you. You can make the decisions that you need to make that you think is best for you or in your family, whatever is important. And Psalm 39:5 says, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Be the best of the best that you can be in the natural man, and your life is vanity. It's like that vapor that James talked about. And we know that well living in Wisconsin. You go out on a cold day and you breathe and you see that steam come out of your mouth, that vapor, and all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, it's gone. That's vanity, to live a life without God. And obviously you understand that and know that, because that's why you became born again. Some of you were delivered from powerful life-controlling things, and maybe some of you lived maybe a pretty decent life before you got saved, but still you knew that your life was vanity. And what's the sense of it? at the end of it all. But to live a life for the glory of God makes your life fulfilling, makes your life worth something. So those are the two options. You can take complete control over your life. You can demand that you run things, or you can give the Lord complete control over your life. And we know that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came and obeyed the every will and purpose of God. When you walk in the light, you walk in the light when you give control of your life to God. He then becomes responsible for your life. I think sometimes it's a little hard for us to take it to that next step. To say, Lord, every one of us in here has said it numerous times, Lord, I give you control over my life. We sing songs like that. But to go further and say, Lord, you now have responsibility over my life. That doesn't mean that he's going to have responsibility to live your life. You have that responsibility to live for the Lord. But he now, because he's taken control of your life, you know, if I give you something, I ask you, will you take, Dorothy, will you take care of this for me? You know, I've had this from when I was a little kid. Can you take care of it? And she says, sure. And she takes it home and I don't see it. She becomes responsible for it. So when we give our life to the Lord, as he wants us to do, then he takes the responsibility for our life. And I don't mean to oversimplify this, but with all the issues of life that we have to deal with, all the decisions we got to make, all of the grasping wisdom to make decisions, one decision you can make that each one of us can do is to make a decision to live each day for the Lord. Give each day to him, and he will take the responsibility for our life. When the disciples asked Jesus why would you go to Judea, Jesus? They're seeking to stone you. Why would you go there? And of course he responded, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. So what Jesus is really saying is the plan and will of God cannot be altered. Jesus has fully given himself over to the Father, pure, absolute obedience that not one of us has ever done. But he did it. He lived in pure, absolute obedience. And he says, my life is in the Father's hands. And if I walk in that light, then I will complete my 12 hours, which is only was 33 and a half years for him. So he was just saying, nothing can happen to me. When you walk in the 12 hours of light the Lord has given you, you are invincible and you are, get this, immortal. Nobody can kill you. Nobody can do anything to you. And if they do, it's because the Lord allowed it. If someone does kill you, that doesn't mean the Lord got goofed up. It just means your 12 hours is done. You walked in the light, you completed your course, and praise God. But until you've completed it, Lord is responsible for you. You are in his hands, and nothing will ever blindside the Lord. Nothing will ever say, oh, how did that happen? That wasn't part of my plan. I'm sorry I let that happen to you. No, he's taken responsibility for your life, and you will complete your course. You will complete the will of God. You will complete every purpose that he has for you in his life. Of course, you don't foolishly place yourself in danger to test God, but you walk with wisdom in this world and you trust God with your life. When you live such a life that I'm talking about, you will find you will have very low levels of anxiousness, low levels of worry and of fear. Anxiousness, worry, and fear will be passing moments instead of debilitating. Amen? There's not one of us that the devil's not going to try to strike some fear in us, or the devil's going to try to get us to worry. We get those thoughts, right? But when we know and we're confident that we are walking in the will of God and we're walking in his light, We do not have to fear what lies ahead because it's all in God's hands. He has complete control and responsibility over our lives. When Jesus said from the beginning of this conversation, let us go to Judea again, that's how I started reading this, it wasn't a concern in his mind. It was only a concern in the disciples' mind. He already knew what his life was all about. He already knew what he was going to do. So it didn't care if there was a thousand people there to stone him. It didn't matter if the whole Roman Empire was against him. If he knew he was going there, it was in the Lord's hand. What about when he walked out, when he got in the temple there, and he's reading Isaiah, and he says, you will say this, and they got so mad at him. They went to throw him off the brow of the hill. I'm absolutely positive Jesus wasn't a bit concerned that he was going to get thrown off of there. He may have not known what the Father, how he was going to do it, but he just knew his life wasn't over because his life was lived for another purpose, and he knew about that. Amen? So he had the complete peace and calm of walking in the light of the Lord. Amen. So he could say, I'm going to Judea, guys, and aren't you worried about they're going to kill you? Hey, I'm walking in the light. I'm walking. There's 12 hours of light yet, you know. So whoever you want to look at it. But Jesus was walking in obedience to the Father. He was carrying out the will of the Father. And he knew his life was in the hands of the Father. And your life can be in the hands of the Father too. If you can just really let go. Isn't this something? I ask the Lord all the time, help me let go of this life. Help me get out of the way. I believe every one of us, if not most of us, if not every one of us, has given the Lord control of our life. Often we don't even know what that entails. We don't even know actually how to do that. It's kind of a growing thing. We're learning more and more to put our life in the hands. But I want you to know you can. I want you to know that you can live in this surrender to the Lord, where he now delegates your life and he watches over your life. You hear from him and you obey him and you walk in obedience to him. You walk in obedience to his word, and you can walk and you can say, I'm not worried. I got 12 hours. There's 12 hours a day. I'm going to be able to see all the way to the end. Praise God. Jesus' response to them was, I don't fear what the Jews want to do to me. I'm paraphrasing. Because they can't do anything to me outside of the will of my Father, because I walk in the day, I walk in the light. This is kind of what Jesus was saying in those words. So one thing that was made clear to Jesus by the Father, that, and he come to learn this, Jesus did, I don't know exactly when, but he was going to face the cross. He's starting to tell them he was going to be crucified. Again, I don't know exactly that was in his life. He came to understand that he was going to die for the sinners, the sins of the world. He never once corrected John the Baptist when John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. What does he mean by the Lamb of God? The Passover Lamb that was going to be given for the sins. He never corrected him because he knew that's what it was. Jesus knew the plan of God for his life to a T. But you and I have not such a privilege. We do know the will of God. We sometimes looking through a glass darkly. We know the will of God. The more we serve him, the more we know it. But we never have the privilege quite like Jesus did. And actually, to be honest with you, I don't think I would really want to know the depth of the plan of God for my life. I'd be afraid to, oh, how could I possibly do that, Lord? But you may not know the plan God has for you, but you can be certain he does have a plan for you. He has 12 hours for you to walk in light to give him glory. And I want to encourage you this morning, saints, to accept the adventure of finding out this life you can live for God, because it is an adventure. It is a great adventure to be a Christian. And the more zealous you are for God, the more willing you are to live for him each and every day, the more adventuresome you will find us to be. The world hear me talking right now, they would think you are out of your mind, preacher. How can that be in you? I don't see you doing anything spectacular. But they don't know the adventure that goes on in heart of seeking out this great God, the depths of heaven. We sang that song, Higher Ground. Take us to higher ground. Is that what we preach here a lot? That's what we desire here. What an adventure to seek out this great God, that he lets us get to know him. Accept the adventure and then walk in it. And that's what this message really has, two purposes. It's to challenge you to fully yield and trust God with every area of your life. Sometimes we'll give God quite a bit, but there's a couple things that I really basically kind of say, I know a little bit better on this one, Lord. You just let me do. I know how to do this. God, I've been doing this now for 63 years, so I got this one covered. No, he wants us to give it all to him. Trust him with every area of our life. Imagine if you could fully do this, walk every day walking into the world. You would never be debilitated by fear. You would never have to back down. Joshua, you said it this morning, your fear's gone. Amen? Praise God, the fear's gone. When you humble yourself, when you give it all over to the Lord, trust in every area of your life to God. So that's one purpose of this message. And another is to assure you that when you do that, God has his hands of protection on you. He has his hands of provision on you. And he has his hands of guidance upon you. He will direct your steps. You can make your plans, and he will direct your steps. Praise God. He will help you go through. And you can face every day with confidence, walking in the Lord. That's why Jesus had such confidence to say, don't worry, guys. There's 12 hours of light in a day. You know, I'm walking in the day. Praise God. He will guide every detail of your life. Though he will not eliminate trials from your life, and we know that, you know, you can go back to the world and you're still going to have trials there too, right? I'd much rather have them with the Lord on my side. I'd much rather have them with the Lord bringing me through. I'd much rather have them with the Lord making a purpose come out of them. Amen? In the world, all they do is make you ornery, make you mad, and make you bitter, and make you broke, and make you this, and make you that. But when you go through things, trials as a Christian, the backside of that is perfection. Praise God. Every time a trial comes your way, you say, oh, God singles me out again. He's going to be perfecting me a little bit. I thought I was perfect, but I guess not. He's perfecting me a little bit more again today. Praise God. When a trial starts, you could get to the place where you're so trusting of God that the trial doesn't have much of an effect on you. Not that you ain't going to have to go through the gruesome things. There might be physical pain in your body. Doesn't mean the pain is going to go on. But boy, you can sure endure it a lot better knowing that you're walking in the light. You're walking with God. You've given him control of your life. He isn't bewildered by that pain. He isn't bewildered by this situation or that situation. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, it makes me just want to give it all to him again. Hallelujah. I thought I did that already. Again, he won't eliminate trials from your life, but you can be assured that those trials don't take him by surprise. You can be assured that he is there with you, and you can be assured and confident that he is leading you through it all. Hallelujah. You will walk your 12 hours in the day, eyes wide open, and you will not stumble. Isn't that an awesome? You know, I get kind of tired sometimes when Christians pretty much confess it upon themselves that, well, you know, I'm just going to fall. In fact, one time I went to move a pastor. And we're sitting after we loaded up the trailer that evening. We went out to eat, and then we're going to spend the night at his house and then drive back here to Wisconsin. And he said to me at the restaurant, well, every Christian backslides. So he said, and this is a pastor. And I said, that ain't true. I says, I never backslid, nor, and I didn't say it, I don't think, with smart aleck or confidence in myself, but with confidence in the Lord. says, I never backslid, nor will I, nor do I plan on it, or something like that, or I don't, nor will I backslide. And well, that kind of ended the conversation. But to think that you have to stumble and that you have to backslide and all that, that's a lie from hell, because Jesus says, when you're in the will of the Father, when you're walking after Him, if you're obeying Him, you're being faithful to Him, and you surrendered your life, you will not stumble. Praise God. So the conclusion is, walk in the light, and you will fulfill the will of God in your life. You will fulfill every detail of it. You will complete the 12 hours that the Lord's given you, whether it's another 50-some years from now, or whether it's another 50-some days. If you're walking in the will of God, you will finish your time as God has ordained in your life. God determines the length of your days. You are the one that determines if they're going to be lived for the glory of God. Amen. So you're going to give glory to God with your life. Let's just stand. Let's offer ourselves up. Altar's open. However you feel moved, let's do this again. Let's offer ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Let's let Him have complete control over our life. Be honest with Him. If you, again, you don't even know how to quite do that, just let Him know that. Lord, show me. Show us, Lord, how to surrender it all to You, Lord. Show us, God, if we're holding anything back, Lord. Show us, God, if we've dependent on ourselves, God, for this walk that You called us to, Lord. I pray, God, You help us to be like Jesus, who didn't fear what lied ahead for Him. He didn't fear what man could do to Him, Lord. He didn't fear, God, the difficulties that were along His path, because He knew He had a course to complete. He knew He had a life to fulfill, Lord, and nothing could change that. Nothing could take God by surprise. Nothing could redirect His life. He just knew that if He walked in Your light, He walked after You, Lord, He would complete a life that glorified You to the fullest, Lord. And that is the desire here this morning, that we live such lives, Lord. This day of high performance that is so preached and expected in our society, Lord, is sometimes causes us to think that we have nothing to offer, Lord. But every one of us, God, You've given a plan to, Lord. Every one of us You have a purpose for. Every one of us has the ability to bring glory to You, Lord. Help us, God, live this surrendered life, You, God. Help us, Lord, to put it all in Your hands. Hallelujah. Lord, we don't have to be super performers, Lord. We don't have to be brilliant. We don't have to have all kinds of talents, Lord. We just, again, as I preached last week, we just need to make ourselves available, Lord. Just be humble before You, God. Just surrender our life to You. Maybe we have to do this all over again, Lord. God, just renew our relationship with You. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, God. Praise Your name.